Hebrews chapter 11, if you came today without a Bible, simply raise your hand good and high so we can give one to you to follow along with us. Hebrews chapter 11. We've been taking our time going through Hebrews chapter 11, taking a look at each and every individual in this particular chapter that God chose to record their faith in Him and the things that God did in and through the men and the women of this chapter. And as we come to the close of this chapter, we'll see that the writer kind of runs out of time and kind of gives us a word of encouragement for all of us that want to live faithful lives. And so I'm excited about today's study and what it will teach us as we too want to be those men and women that kind of go down in history as those faithful followers of Jesus Christ. I do hope that that is a focus of your life, that you want people to see that you do believe and that you do follow Jesus Christ and that your life is impacting others. And so we're going to learn a few things here this morning as we close out chapter 11. Our Bibles are open and ready. Let us pray. Father, once again, we come to you. Lord, I would like to confess for all of us that we are in great need. Great need of you working, providing, helping our existence, our thoughts, our lives, our gifts, our talents. God, we need to be those men and women that desire to live lives of faith. And many times we find it difficult to be faithful. Many times we find it difficult to believe, even though we don't see. But you were very clear, Lord Jesus, that blessed are those who believe but do not see. So we pray as we study your word that we would apply these principles to our lives so that we can be faithful as you are faithful, that we can be loving as you are loving, and that we can love on a world that does not know you so that they would one day come to know you. So bless us as we study your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want you to think about the people that you know in your life that are faithful to God. Think about the people in your past, in your present, that you look to and you say, oh, they're faithful. And I thought this morning I would put some pictures up, but then I started to think, well, no, those are the people that I think are faithful in my life. And I think it's important for us all to have that in our minds, those people, those men, those women, those individuals that maybe helped lead us to the Lord, or maybe those people today that are walking alongside us, that when we think of them, we think, wow, they are so faithful to God. Because I think it's very important that we have those people in our lives. Amen? That there are those people that we can look to. I think of so-and-so, and I think, oh, I want to be like them. You know, and one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Paul saying, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Or another verse, follow me as I follow Christ. Because to me, there are going to be people in all of our lives that are either drawing us closer to God, or listen, drawing us farther from God. We have both, see? We have both of those types of people in our lives, those that are helping us to see greater faith in our lives and in their lives, and then others that are just, you know, they're Christians, they're believers, that's good, but there's really nothing going on. You know what I'm talking about? Those types of people. No, we need to be faithful. And I want us to think about maybe our parents. Maybe they were faithful, maybe they weren't. The friends that we hang around, are they faithful? The teachers who teach us, are they faithful? Our employers, our relatives, our coworkers, classmates, whoever it may be, are they faithful? Are you surrounding yourself with faithful people? I think it's key to these things in our lives. What makes them faithful? That's another question, very important. I've heard this saying many, many times, oh, they're a very strong Christian. I love the idea. But I have to always ask, what makes you think they're a very strong Christian? Well, they wear a cross around their neck. Okay. You know, they carry a Bible. Okay, that's good. They have that fish on the car. You know, or a Calvary Chapel Brentwood decal stuck to their car. They're faithful. No, wait a minute. They're only faithful if they go the speed limit with that decal on their car. What is it in their character that brings you to the conclusion that they are faithful? And I will submit to you, it's probably because you saw them walk through a very difficult situation or circumstance in their life. You found that any time there was something going on in their life or your life or others' lives, there was support of Scripture there. There was always a reminder that, no, God is with you. The peace of God that surpasses understanding is always there no matter what's going on in our lives. It's what is it that brings you to the conclusion that they're a faithful person? See, it can't be their job. It can't be their money. It can't be anything but their heart. Their heart. And then I want to ask you this question. Do you consider yourself faithful to God? Are you that person that others look to and say, they're faithful. They're faithful. See, if so, your faithfulness is dependent not by your circumstances, is it? Your faithfulness to God is not dependent on whether things are going your way or whether they're not going their way. He says, I believe there are those Christians that as long as I'm being blessed, hey, praise God. Praise the Lord, I'm being blessed. But when difficulties come, when we lose our job, when we lose a loved one, when we're looking for a place to live, now our faith just kind of goes, why isn't God helping me? And our faith just falls flat. See, being more content when things are going your way than when things aren't going your way is not a faithful person. Faithful people are faithful no matter what. Do you know people like this? That they're faithful no matter what happens. See, if I told you this week was going to be the last week you were going to live upon the earth, how would you spend the next 7 days? If I knew without a matter of doubt, I'm going to tell you today is this is your last week, how are you going to live? And I say, if you would change things or do things differently than you would normally, may I suggest that this week you do those things? I'm going to suggest that because there are no guarantees in this life other than you will die one day, right? If you would do things differently, do them. Spend this next week in that very way as you thought about it. Oh, I know what I would do. I would jump out of an airplane. With a parachute. I would go talk to a relative I haven't talked to. I would spend more time with my kids. I would do this. Whatever it was, do that. Because my friends, one day, that's it. Enough. Done. Live with that perspective. No one is guaranteed another week, let alone another minute. Live your life as though this were your last day. Live in such a way that you take full advantage of every moment. I was driving down Concord Road, which I've driven down many, many times. I've lived here 11 years. One night I was driving down Concord Road and I looked off in the distance and I saw the lights of the town of Brentwood. 11 years I've driven down that road. It was like the first time I saw this. It's like, why do we get so focused upon what's right in front of us and forget to look around and enjoy things? And maybe that's your perspective today. You're putting your nose to the grindstone. You're being a good employee. You're being a good worker. But you're missing life because it's zipping on by. Stop. Slow down. Enjoy things. Do the things you've always wanted to do that you're putting off. Go to the places that you've always wanted to go. Say the things that you've always wanted to say. Don't wait for the right moment. Say it. Tell someone that you love them. Tell someone that you care about them. And if need be, tell someone that they need to know some truth and tell them that truth, even when it hurts. Do these things, my friends, because if we're going to be faithful, we need to live our lives as faithful people. In the remaining verses of chapter 11, we will discover the contrasts of faithfulness. The contrast of faithfulness. Because there are two sides to our faith. There's the faith when things are going right, and there's faith when things aren't going right. And maybe there's some people here this morning that need to be faithful because things aren't going right for you. You need to be encouraged to continue to walk with the Lord no matter what is going on. Look with me, if you will. Verse 32, Hebrews 11. The writer of Hebrews tells us, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again." Pause right there. There's a period. Please give me your attention. Don't read any farther. Hey, everybody. It's tempting, I understand. But if we're going to look at the contrast of faithfulness, we need to focus on the first contrast before we get to the next word. And some of you have already spoiled the punchline. But number one, if you're taking notes, we need to realize the blessings of faithfulness. The blessings of faithfulness. We see it here. First, the writer says, what more can I say? If you've been with us through Hebrews chapter 11, we've been looking, as I said, at each and every individual that were faithful to God. And if you're a student of the word, if you know the scriptures and you know the characters that the writer of Hebrews is talking about, you might say, well, wait a minute, they made some mistakes. They weren't perfect. And the writer of Hebrews is not concerned about the mistakes. They're concerned and focuses upon the faithfulness of the people within this chapter. Just as God, as we talked about, looks at us by the things that we've been successful with, the faith that we've extended to others, the faith that has grown in our lives. That's the focus. So the writer finally could go on and on and on and on, but what does he say? What more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell. And then he lists these other people. What more can I say could also be said this. How much more do I need to say? How much more evidence do we need, brothers and sisters here at Calvary Chapel Brentwood this morning? How much more evidence do we need that there are people that have gone before us that have been faithful? That's what he's saying. Have I not said enough? Has he not shared enough with us that those that were faithful, man, that's obvious. And even in this room, as I look around, I can see people that have gone through difficult times and have been faithful. I look around at us and I say, God has used us. God has taken and allowed circumstances to happen in our lives so that our faith could be stretched. How many people know in this room that your faith won't get strong unless your faith is tested? It has to be tested. Faith is not faith if it's just faith that isn't in action. No, it needs to be stretched. It needs to be tested. You're wondering, why is my marriage so hard? Because your faith is being tested. You're wondering why that coworker at work is rubbing you wrong. Why? Because your faith is being tested. God is trying to see if you will be faithful in the difficult situation because he wants to bless you and he probably has blessed you, but he doesn't want you to be a spoiled Christian. Amen? He doesn't want you to be that Christian who gets everything you want when you want it and everybody's happy. Praise God. No. Because if a storm came, you'd be gone. You would run for the hills. But no, you've been challenged. You've been stretched. And you've heard me say it before. If something difficult is going on in your life, praise the Lord. Because God is counting you faithful. God is counting you as someone that he can trust. I would imagine Job is standing there before God and going, why did you do that to me? And God would probably very quickly say, because I knew you could. Because I knew you could, Job. I had faith in you. I trusted you. That's why I knew. So if you're going through difficult situations, consider yourself a prime candidate for the love of God that he's displaying in your life. No, the writer says, and what more do I have to say? Time would fail me. This is an endless topic, my friends. It's an endless topic of those men and women that have been faithful to God. And I pray that there are people that you're thinking about in our day today, not just in the Old Testament. Certainly we should think of New Testament, but certainly we should think of the men and women of our day that are being faithful. Because you know what the problem is? Because the news wants to tell us about all those that fell. We want to watch on the TV those who stumbled in their faith. And there's plenty of those too. But there are people that I can think about, that you can think about, that have been st- steadfast through time, not being caught in unnecessary sin for the Christians. But those people that have walked the walk because they talk the talk, they walk the walk, they are who they are. But they're still human, aren't they? We get surprised when someone falls. We get surprised when someone sins. Thank God we don't display on this screen all the sins that we committed this week. Thank God for that. Maybe we should. If you knew next week I was going to display your sins, how much more effort would you put in not to sin? I think I'm on to something here. Isn't it true? But no, we've got to realize there are faithful people in our lives. The writer of Hebrews says, listen, time would fail me. He's not going to run out of faithful people. No, he's saying, I'm going to run out of time before I run out of people. And that's a fact, my friends. See, I think sometimes we can get so discouraged with the Christian faith that there are no faithful people out there when we miss the ones who are. So I think some of the quietest people in our fellowship are some of the most faithful people to pray, to read their word, to encourage others. They're quiet, but they're faithful. It's the loud ones you got to watch out for. I'm kidding. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Had an Italian back there. John 21, verse 25 will be overhead. It's the same idea that John writes in his gospel. He says, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. No. There isn't enough space in the world for us to even write about the things that Jesus did. And we got to realize that when we hold our Bibles in our hands, this is a limited, hear me through, this is a limited record of all the things that have happened with people of God. But praise be to God that we have this. But don't be mistaken to think these are the only things that Jesus did, or these are the only things that God did. There are many other men and women that God used that were never recorded in the Bible. So we realize there's so much here. God has chosen to give us a Bible that has these stories to remind us. He wrote Hebrews chapter 11 so that we could read it and go, faithful people, I want to be one of those. My prayer is that each and every one of us wants to be that faithful person. And that the blessings that God brings to us, that we will use those as an opportunity to say, look what God did in my life. Look what God has given to me. Look at the blessings that God has. Please use those blessings that God has given to you as an opportunity to be a testimony to God's goodness. But then the writer, as he goes on in verse 32, time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, also David, Samuel, and the prophets. He switches from naming people to naming their experiences. Verse 33, who through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, and on, he lists out these experiences. This list should, in many of our minds here this morning, bring us and remind us to our memories the stories that are written in the Bible. And for many of us, as I say these things, quenched the violence of fire, does that trigger some remembrances in your mind? Some memories? Who quenched fire? Bingo. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, one of my absolute favorite stories in all the world. We will not bow down to you, King. Throw us in the fire. And even if our God doesn't deliver us, we're going to trust, but we will never bow down to you because that's not what God wants. And what an amazing deliverance God brought to them. And what an amazing story that is for us. To realize that they can bind us with chains, they can bind us with ropes, but God is going to burn those things away because we're going to be protected by God. Shut the mouths of lions. Daniel should come to mind. And the reason I bring this to our attention is because I don't want to go through every individual thing and remind us in the Bible where that is, but our minds should go to those places. And if you're here this morning and your mind doesn't go to those places, let me just encourage you, read your Bible. That's it. Read the Bible. I was talking to someone not too long, just this past week, and they were saying, well, whenever you guys talk about biblical things, I don't understand really what you're talking about. And I was like, I was one of those people. Sad little testimony I'm going to give you about your pastor. First senior pastor's conference 10, 11 years ago that I went to, I sat there with all senior pastors of Calvary Chapels as there's a gifted teacher up there teaching the Bible, and they're teaching things, and I'm going, I have no idea what he's talking about. And I'm looking around going, I don't deserve to be here. These pastors, they know the Bible so well, I don't deserve to be here. And you know what thought enters my mind, that lie that the enemy says, you're not worthy, give up, don't even bother. Now when I go, I hear the stories, I understand what they're talking about. Why? Because I've grown in my understanding of God. I've grown in my knowledge of the Word of God. It's been hidden in my heart so that when we talk about biblical things, I can have an intelligent conversation. All to say that for all of us in this room, it is our responsibility as Christians to know the Word of God. Not to memorize it and to be able to spew it out incorrectly, but to have it in our hearts so that we can run to it in our time of need. I don't know about you, but this list is very encouraging to me. To see that this is what the God of the universe, the God that you believe in, will do for your life. When you come into a trial next week, you can either panic and worry and sweat and fret, or you can go, God's going to get me through it. That's the perspective, isn't it? That should be our understanding. Know these stories, know these things, because these are the things that are going to bring strength to your faith, my friends, and help you to be faithful. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know the specifics of your situation, but I can almost guarantee probably 10 out of every 10 people in this room are going through something that God has to be the answer for. And you're going, when is the answer coming? There's no doubt. Whether it's a career, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a place to live, whether it's a job, whatever it is, you're having to trust God with it. And if you don't know these stories and you don't understand these truths, as the writer is saying, then you're going to be that person that's going to panic. Oh my God, what am I going to do without a job? Oh my God, what am I going to do without this place to live? All of these worries, all of these frets, instead of resting in God. Now listen, it was amazing to me driving in this morning. I was listening to a message, and it talked about specifically that, listen, if we know the Word of God and we know that God is true, it doesn't lessen the stress of our circumstances, but the beauty of it is that there is a peace that surpasses understanding as we're going through a stressful thing. The stress is still going to be there. I would love to say, hey, put your trust in God, and bam, pressure goes. No, we know better, right? We're going to wake up every morning and go, and then we're going to remember God. We're going to panic for a second, and then we're going to remember God. And then we're going to go out through our day, and then we're going to have lunch, and then we're going to remember, and we're going to panic, and then we're going to remember God. Why? Because it's God's peace. He says, listen, don't worry about that. I've got that. Trust me in that. There's people in here this morning that need to trust a little bit more in God. He's testing you. Notice what is it that got these people through? What was it that stopped the mouths of the lions? What was it that got these through the fiery furnaces? It was their faith. Let's see what it says here. Verse 33, who through faith subdued these things? Not through their mightiness, not through their intelligence, not through anything else, but their faith in God. That's not to say that it's good to be strong. That's not to say that it's not good to be smart. I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's your faith that needs to override all that, because I believe if it's not by faith, then we're going to take some credit for it, right? We're going to take some credit for it. If it wasn't for me, boy, God wouldn't be able to do it. Never can we have that perspective. Despite of us, we need to realize God works. They are accomplished through faith. Keep your place in Hebrews 11. Flip over with me to Psalm chapter 18. Psalm 18. Look at verse 31. Psalm 18, verse 31 says, for who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hand to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your right hand has held me up. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarge my path under me so my feet did not slip. Now, if you look at these scriptures, and there's so many more of these in the Bible, but we can see very clearly that God, or the writer of the psalm, is saying, listen, God is my strength. God is my protector. God is the one that teaches me and shows me and gives me those gifts and talents. It's the Lord that equips us and empowers us to do what we do, my friends. Just a great reminder in the Word of God that God is God and you're not. We're not God. Isn't it amazing we try to convince God of what he needs to do best in our life? Now we're acting like Peter. Nobody wants to act like Peter. We want to act like those Christians that are trusting in the Lord, trusting in his faithfulness. Are you being blessed? Is your life blessed? Is this a season of life for you that there's blessings? Now, I would imagine for most of us, there's blessings, and then there's other things that are really stretching us. They just come with the territory. But I wonder if the blessings that God is giving to us or to others, if we're embracing them in such a way that we're saying, God, you're just loving on me. You're just showing me how much you care for me. And how do we respond when someone else is being blessed and we're not? That's a hard part, isn't it, for Christians? To see someone else's life being blessed and do everything in our strength to be happy for them. Right? Someone tells you what God's doing, and you're like, oh, that's wonderful. Right? Why is he not doing that in my life? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. So the blessings that God gives, my friends, are that he cares for us, makes our way perfect, make my feet like the feet of deer. We should be able to realize and feel the presence of God in our situations, in our circumstances, because that never changes. That never changes. He is there for you. And you may feel like he's not there. But my friends, we cannot be dictated by our feelings. Our heads and our hearts should say, God is with me in this. God, you know. Now, if you're walking contrary to God, if you're ignoring the signs of, and if you're ignoring the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, then you got to be careful. But if you are being sensitive to the Spirit, if you're being that Christian that's doing everything in your power to keep your focus on God, then whatever he's allowing is for your good. And to be thankful for those things. Go back to Hebrews chapter 11. Realize that we're being blessed. And in our blessings, it's probably because of our faithfulness. But there's another side, isn't there? Stay with me, okay? Because here's the hard part. Because verse 35 is a transitional verse, contrasting the blessings of faithfulness, and here it is, the sufferings of faithfulness. Close the door. People want to leave. There's suffering to faithfulness. Look what it says in the middle of verse 35. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they may obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in shepherd skins and goat skins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Yay, right? This is faithfulness. This is the other side of faithfulness. There is a coin called faith, and there are blessings, and there are sufferings. How many of us want the blessings? Let's go back to that part, right? We just want the blessings. But no, if you see here, verse 38 is so powerful. Of whom the world was not worthy. Whoa. My friends, if you're going to be faithful, you're going to struggle with a few things. If you're going to be faithful, there's going to be a few things that are going to be difficult in your life. And what's sad to me, that there are those who teach, if your life is not blessed materially, there's sin in your life. Oh, come on. Really? Bring them to Hebrews chapter 11 and read this to them. Because it says, others were tortured. Now, does it say others who were sinful or others who sinned? No, he's talking about, going back to verse 33, who through faith, that's the context, through faith they suffered. Through faith they were tortured. Through faith they were sawn in two. Who's signing up for that ministry? Saw me in two. Praise the Lord. No. We don't want that. We don't want the sufferings. God, help us. Deliver us from our sufferings. He does, doesn't he? He does deliver us from our sufferings. But there's a time that we must spend sometimes in those seasons of difficulty. Why? So that we can be mature. James tells us to consider it pure joy when you fall into various trials. Consider it pure joy. To me, that translates, praise God. Praise the Lord, whatever you're going through. Somebody texted me this week, please pray for me. I really don't like school right now. It's really hard. My response is, praise the Lord. That's what you're going to get from me. Praise the Lord. Why? Because I believe sometimes our flesh needs to be crucified. Sometimes our flesh needs to be put in check. It's difficult. Not only are there people that will say that if there's not blessings in your life, there's sin in your life, there's people in this room that are thinking because they're not being blessed right now that there's something wrong with them, that there's some type of sin in your life. Don't believe that, my friends. Believe this area of Scripture that clearly says there are those who are faithful that suffered. I don't know if you caught it, but in both of these sections, one says this in verse 34, escaped the edge of the sword. And then if you go back up to verse 37, we're slain with the sword. What? Some were blessed by avoiding it, and some were blessed by receiving it. See the contrast? You see the difference? See, we cannot look at our circumstances and determine whether God is happy or angry with us. God loves you so much that there's nothing that can separate you from that type of love. So whatever's going on in your life, you cannot be dictated by the circumstances or by the realization that God loves you. As long as you're not purposely living in disobedience. If you truly have a heart for God. I was listening to a message on the radio this week, and this verse came up, Matthew 10, verse 29. It'll be overhead. And there's something I want us to look at. It says, are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. And the thrust of this message was focusing on the fact that, listen, as Christians, we're going to suffer a little bit. And this verse is very clear. Not one of them falls. That means that sometimes Christians fall. That means sometimes we do stupid things. Sometimes we make mistakes. Be encouraged. You're just human. But the second thing to notice is that you're not going to fall, you're not going to stumble apart from the will of God, apart from his attention, apart from his knowing what's going on in your life. The good news is you're going to mess up, or the bad news is you're going to mess up tomorrow. The good news is God already knows about it, and he's already ready to be there for you. That no matter what you're going through, it's not apart from God's attention and his power. You realize that? It's good to know that God has got his eye on us, isn't it? It's good to know that he's paying attention to where we're going. Has your life been blessed by the Lord? If you think about it, has your life been blessed? Yes. Now, what are we doing with our lives? What are we doing with those blessings? What are we doing with those things? Because not only are we being blessed, but we're also, I bet, struggling in certain areas. There's also hardship as well. In fact, someone shared with me this week how God blessed them with something that they wanted. They'd been praying about it, and God bless them with that thing that they wanted, and it was even more than they wanted. It was such a blessing. They were just praising God for it. And that is so great. But my thing is, we should continue that worship of God. We should consider that praise of God even when we don't get what we want. You see what I'm saying? We cannot be those spoiled Christians that are just, man, God is good, and putting it on Facebook and putting it on Twitter. God's awesome. I'm getting one. And then the next week, please pray for me. I'm going through something very difficult. Nothing wrong with getting prayer. Nothing wrong with saying, hey, pray for me. God's stretching me. Pray for me. I'm going through something difficult. But I trust in God. I love hearing that from Christians who come up to me and say, Pastor Rob, pray for me in this situation. I'm being confident that God's going to do something, but I want to be supported in prayer. There's nothing wrong with that. But to have that confidence that God is going to work through it. Because honestly, when we look at this list again of all these trials and all these difficulties, none of us have to go through this kind of torture. None of us have to go through this kind of pain. You know, we might live in a country that is not supportive of Christian ministry. We might live in that context. But that doesn't mean we stop doing what we do as Christians, because we don't need government's approval. We need the Lord's approval. We need God's hand upon our ministries. We need God's hand upon our lives. Whether it's a blessing or or we're suffering, we need just God, be there, Lord, as long as you're in it. And let us not walk through and get on the other side of those things that we prayed for and God delivered us and then forget. Let us not be like the 9 lepers that didn't go back to the Lord and said, Lord, thank you. Let us be those ones that go back and say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Don't be that Christian that gets your prayers answered and then said, okay, God, you did good on that one. Now here's my next one. No. Lord, thank you. Paul says this to the church of Philippi. He says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We know that last verse. That's, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What came first? Learning how to have everything and learning how to have nothing. Learning how to be blessed and learning how to be someone who suffers. You learn that. You experience that. Let us be those Christians that are involved in each other's lives in such an amazing and powerful way that we're willing to say, I've learned to be content where God has me. I've learned that. Can we have this kind of perspective? Look at again verse 38, to me the best verse in the whole area of chapter 11. Of whom the world was not worthy. The world treated the people of God as this, they were not worthy to live, but the Spirit of God bursts forth and says this. Actually, it's the other way around. The world's not worthy of you. The world is not worthy of you. My friends, that's the perspective we need to have as we leave here this morning. That the world isn't worthy of us. That we have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, living within us. We have that power to share the good news of Jesus Christ, the power of God. Can that be your perspective here this morning? When the world treats you unworthily, can you hear the voice of God say to you, your faith in me is worth more than anything else. Faith in me. Be that faithful person in the Lord. Be that faithful person that people can run to you. Look with me at verse 39 and 40. And all these, speaking of all those that were blessed and those that suffered, and all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Those who are blessed and those who are suffered obtained a good testimony. Isn't that really the goal for all of us? That even if we leave this world, that there's a legacy that's left behind, that they lived for the Lord, that they lived a life that was faithful, true. There's people that we know, I mean, there's books I've read of people that seem like they suffered their whole life, But their life is still speaking into my life today because of their confidence in God. What do we need? We need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit to anoint us, to change the way we see, to change the way we hear, to change the way we think. We need that power of the Holy Spirit that we would look at a situation that the world would look at and say, run from that. And we go, no, I'm going to run towards it because that's what God has for me. I want to close right here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 13. Paul says, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up, raptured together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord." Such an encouraging area of Scripture that speaks of the second coming of Christ when he comes back and the church gets raptured up. Listen, who's going to go before us? Everybody recorded in Hebrews chapter 11. Those are the ones that are going to go before us who have died in Christ, in faith in God. They're going to receive that first. When the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 says, listen, they didn't receive the promise. But you know what? They're going to cross the finish line before us. And we don't have to get into there's no time in heaven and we all cross the line at the same time. Let's not get crazy on that. I understand that. But I do believe there is some sense of reward for them, that they were faithful even when they didn't know the truth about the Messiah and Jesus Christ. We are the ones who know that Jesus came and died for us, that we would live a life worthy of the cross. My prayer, though there is contrast to faithfulness, that we would embrace the blessings as well as the sufferings, realizing that our lives will be a living testimony for God, that one day he's going to be receiving us to him and saying, well done, good and faithful servants. Father, we thank you for your word today. And our prayer this morning, Lord, is to help us. Help us to be good stewards of your blessings. Let us not waste the blessings that you give to us, but let us embrace those blessings. And be good with those blessings and use those blessings that you give to, whether it's strength, whether it's faith, whether it's finances, whether it's gifts and abilities, whether it's just your overwhelming love upon us, Lord, let us use that for your glory. And Lord, I pray for each and every one of us that are struggling right now, that in some senses, though not in the context that we read today, there is suffering going on. Maybe it's physical. Maybe there's some of us who are struggling with pain in our physical bodies. God, I pray that you would heal our bodies. For some, maybe it's depression. Maybe they can't seem to get out of their own heads. They just are feeling weighed down and there's no sunshine in their life. God, I pray right now, open their eyes to your truth, that you died for them to live the life of abundance and joy. As it says in Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Let them be joyful. God, and I pray for the marriages in our church that right now are stressed and strained. They're going through the motions. They're married. They're together, but there's no love there. God, right now, pour your love into them. And God, if you count us worthy to suffer a little here, let us endure. Let us persevere. let us focus upon one day these will all be gone and that we'll live in glory with you. And if we remember them, which I doubt we will, we'll be grateful to have been counted worthy to suffer with you. Bless your church, God. Bless your people. Let us go from this place on fire for the Lord. Holy Spirit, come to us. Equip us, prepare us. We can never say we love you enough. But God, we do love you. For it's in the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.